I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's not what you do, it's how you do it, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool gubbed Bournemouth and Erling Haaland bagged a hat-trick. It's Monday, 29th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Everybody, it's a bank holiday Monday in England, not for us though. We are here to entertain you, like Robbie Williams, Peter.
Why bring him in?
It's textbook, isn't it? Yes, yeah. Go straight after Donaldson with a Robbie Williams chat.
A man
roll
who,
that hand grenade towards him.
Get his back up.
This lineup feels very 2017, but he's gone back to 2000.
Yeah, he has.
Well, why not, baby? Why not? I tell you what, everybody, while you're having a lovely holiday, I hope that you're... From the banks. It's very good, though. It's one thing...
You can have a day off, but don't you dare go near a bank.
One thing I will say about the banks, integrity. Honourable.
Yeah. Right.
They do us a solid every time.
Jeff Banks, he loves every one of these.
He knows what I'm talking about. but, you know, enjoy your holiday, but also, you know that you're basking in the glow of a fabulous weekend of football.
And I'm going to defend you, Marcus, because I think if Pete's going to...
Who's attacking me?
He's in open proceedings talking about you taking it back to 2000, and then in the next sentence mentioned Jeff Banks.
Of the clubs, sure.
Everyone listening to this won't even know who Jeff Banks is.
He was a Savile Row fashion designer with a cheeky little Cockney charm.
Did a lot of branded underwear like Calvin Klein, but Jeff Banks around the waistline.
Way less successful.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
they are. Yeah, so no doubt you got your Jeff Banks on and your and your sun hats on and glow sticks.
But it's a big look at carnival this weekend.
It's a huge
Jeff Banks.
Yeah, it's a big Notting Hill carnival, of course, in London today. Maybe we'll get down there later. Who knows? But highlights of the weekend first, gentlemen. Luke Moore, your highlight of the weekend.
I am going to go for, and I don't know if anyone saw this, it went a bit under the radar, but did you see that Luca Dino in the Aston Villa versus West Ham game was literally about an inch away from hitting the best free kick, the best corner of all time?
Did you see
the highlights?
Yeah.
He whipped a corner in, and it was absolutely undefendable. Yeah. I think Conte headed it in. Obviously celebrated. Aston Villa near the goal. It was ruled out because on VAR that it went out by about 2 inches.
It's just gutting. That's
annoying. It was I saw that and thought, that is the best corner I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think for that reason alone, it should have been allowed.
Was it better than the time when Charlie Adam shot from a corner?
Well, every time he took a corner. Yeah. the classic Charlie Adam when he was at Liverpool shooting again from the halfway line. You just saw Jamie Carragher at the bottom of the shot just going, fucking hell.
You've got options.
That's very Sunday league, though, isn't it? Oh, like one guy will just have a shot from everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, Xabi Alonso can do it and that's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Pete Donaldson.
I think Wolves keeping Alan Saint-Maximin deep space quiet for 90 minutes and then him popping up with a goal was just I could have gone silly. I could have gone Jules Breach pointing out on television that Brighton were top of the league for 5 minutes.
She interrupted everyone on television.
Hey, stop, look at my phone.
Yeah. That
was funny. She's risky on her phone.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Anything could have come up.
Yeah.
Was it a shinner?
Get out.
Yeah. We'll come to that later, won't we?
A lot of replays make volleys look like shinners.
They do, yeah.
Wayne Rooney's overhead kick against Man City was off a shin, but...
Yeah, the thing is, though, right? he meant to hit it with a part of his body. Yeah. Obviously, he was going for the foot, and he meant to and he meant to score a goal. That's what happens.
It's day one of professional football school, isn't it?
I was going for the foot.
Day one is kick it with your foot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, though, that credit where credit's due. Jim Campbell.
For me, my highlight of the weekend was Pep Guardiola doing a sort of chest bump hug combination when he took off Erling Haaland. It's sort of like, it's almost like he was checking exactly how hard Haaland is. It's like, is this man actually made of granite?
Readjusting a wire.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. It was a glorious meeting between two big characters, shall we say.
It looked like Erling Haaland has got some sort of power over Pep. I thought that dynamic, I think
that's Pep's weird.
I think Pep was shouting. He's coming off. He needs a software update. Yeah. He needs an update. He's updating to fucking whatever it's called. What do they call the Apple Mac Pete updates?
Oh, they always give him silly names like
Big Sir.
Mojave.
The most recent one's Big Sir. He needs an update to Big Sir.
Really big Earl.
Big Sir. Yeah.
That's what we want. It was a big Earl update.
We should be calling him Earl, really.
Well, in time.
The Earl of Manchester.
The Earl of Golchester.
The Earl of Golchester. There you go.
Yeah, we got there in
his
the end.
Work.
Well, let's talk about some goals, gentlemen. We start with Liverpool 9, Bournemouth 0. Yeah. Jurgen Klopp said he had the perfect afternoon due to the great weather and fantastic football. We don't have that often at Liverpool, so we should cherish it. Well, they have fantastic football quite a bit.
I mean, the football was getting second billing there to the weather. They won 9-0.
Choice.
How good a day was it?
Did you see him, Jim, when he went over to Scott Parker?
Yes.
And he kind of... It was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's had a lot of praise for that, but I think that sort of thing is
easy
best
to do
done privately, isn't it?
Was it patronising, Jim?
If
I was Scott Parker, it may have read that way. So I think that sort of thing, it happens away from the cameras.
But why didn't Parker say, all right, call him off?
Yeah.
Bring him back. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you went 5...
You've got power to stop this.
Yeah.
But no, you're clearly...
You're making it worse, if anything.
You are clearly trying to get a record against my team, and I am disrespected by that. And if the keeper hadn't kept out that James Milner effort, it would have been 10.
Was it patronising the same way that Pete doesn't like it when we have a photo together and I put my hand on his shoulder?
Yeah, I find it belittling.
Why?
I'm a little angry man.
But it's a bit like sort of an 80s film poster, like, hey! Whoa! Look, twins! That's what I think when he does it to me.
Turner and Hooch.
But I can't put my hand around your waist, can I? Because it looks like we're just celebrating becoming pregnant or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
can I just say about the game itself very, very briefly?
If you must.
That this kind of result only reflects well on the league if it's Southampton on the end of it. It looks very bad for the Premier League for that to be happening.
Do you think that Southampton that takes a little bit of the heat off us?
I bet Southampton were going, we want 10, we want 10, I expect.
Look, what's the matter with the South Coast teams getting hammered?
Nah, Portsmouth top of the league, mate, next. Portsmouth top of the league.
You will genuinely have to remind some of our listeners which
league. League 1.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Proper football. Remember when Coca-Cola sponsored the Football League and they called everyone proper fans? It was really patronising. I'm happy about that now.
Pompey really are trying to reverse up the Pompey Highway, aren't they?
Big time. Big time.
More power to their elbow.
So we're not going to get beaten 9-0 anytime soon. Mm. So stick a pin in that when we see we draw in the FA Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
We're already out the other one.
I mean, I found it remarkable for those of us who've got Mo Salah in their fantasy team.
Oh, mate, frustration.
It's just like, piss off.
Yeah.
Nine goals and he wasn't like involved.
Like he didn't have chances as well.
I got really angry with him. I really angry with him.
It's like, come on, man.
I was watching the highlights. I was already pissed off that he didn't get a goal or an assist. Highlights, he was getting chances and he was missing them and he was laughing about it. I was like, don't you fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Stick it in the net.
And also with Haaland getting a hat trick, you know, he loves a golden boot, we know, old Sammy.
Hey, I'm waiting for that Calvin Ramsey to come on.
Oh, Pete.
Luke was having a go at me about
I wasn't having a go at you. I was just saying that, you know, you don't help yourself when it comes to the super competitive Fantasy Premier League we run at the Ramble. Mm. You're not going to get off the bottom very often if you're picking in your first 11 a player who's not only never played a minute for Liverpool, but is also injured with an unknown return date.
Yeah, yeah, but do you not think that he's not going to cost me any
points? Yeah, but he's not going to get you any fucking points.
Yeah, stick him on the bench at least.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Just a little.
He's not going to cost him any points.
By the way, you said is it damage limitation?
He won't pick any player because they might get him minus.
But you said Pete doesn't help himself in the Fantasy League. When do you help yourself?
He doesn't help
Pete?
No, don't help myself.
At the Chinese buffet.
Yes,
that's when you help
please.
Yourself.
Ribs are plenty.
There we are, you see. We got there in the end. I thought it was a lovely moment when Harvey Elliott scored. It was a beauty.
Yeah.
He's had his injury troubles.
Fulham alumnus as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, and he had Carvalho as well.
Yeah.
Like I say.
He looks so young, Carvalho.
He is.
Yeah. Lovely finish.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Beautiful stuff. I tell you what, old Diaz, we know he's a great player, but that first goal, to see a winger getting up and heading a ball like that, I know I'm talking about yesteryear. In the 90s, wingers didn't do that.
No way.
But that was glorious.
They were too busy jinking.
Think so. Diaz is, I mean, obviously with Mane going, I mean, if you want to know, if you like teams who score lots of goals, check out what Bayern have been doing in the
But Marcus, it was also a nice resurgence for Roberto Firmino,
Yes, absolutely.
It's over the top to suggest, of course, that he's, you know, the forgotten man at Liverpool now because of all these players they brought in and because the other players around him have done so well in forward positions. But for him to pop up with two goals and three assists, little reminder that he's still got it in his locker.
No, it was lovely because I think for me,
against a diabolically bad team, he can still do it.
But he's such a lovely player and yeah, very graceful, you might say, on the pitch. And
that's just his teeth.
And that's just his teeth and his beliefs.
Well, his veneers.
Yeah.
I imagine his teeth look very different.
You'd never see him.
No.
No, you'd never see him.
But yeah, glorious stuff from him. Despite the victory, Jurgen Klopp admitted that he's no longer content with Antonio content with his midfield options. He said, we are going for a midfielder. Yes, I'm the one who said we don't need a midfielder and you were all right and I was wrong. Again, when you've just won 9-0, you can be very joyous.
He loves being magnanimous when it's very easy.
He's quite passive aggressive. Scott Parker didn't... Is it fair to say Scott Parker also let it get to him?
Mm.
He didn't say... You'd expect almost him to be angry about it because I think, you know, obviously it's hard to go to Anfield. It's hard to beat Liverpool because they're a great team. But as we've said before, there's a 3-0 loss and there's a 9-0 loss. There's like a foot there if it's 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One booking I think they got as well. Marcus, you'll have something to say on that, I'm sure.
I'm angry about it.
Good. And I thought Scott Parker would show a bit of you know, presence, but he said something like, we're trying our best. There's nothing we can do.
That was his demeanor last time. He was kind of under the cosh.
It's only August.
I think essentially it was a message to the... to the people upstairs, isn't it, that they essentially need some signings coming in? I think he said they need some help, and it was actually, he looked so shell-shocked by it. I just found it uncomfortable to watch.
A sock full of shells whacked around the back of his head.
What, mini shelves in a sock?
Shells, yeah.
Oh, shells. Shells.
Lots of them on the beach in Bournemouth.
Definitely. They weren't in Bournemouth.
No, but you can take...
Anfield then. There'll be shells.
Yes, they're by the coast as well. Yeah. A lot of places are in the UK. It's an island. But I wish an interviewer would just say to Scott Parker, do you feel that in the Premier League you've earned your stripes?
Yeah,
isn't that little cardigan thing?
It's 5-0 at half time, and you think, okay.
Second half, probably maybe 6-0, 6-1.
Yeah, 57 seconds into the second half, I guess.
And he was just like, oh, bloody hell. I don't blame him.
The picker of the lot was Trent, and obviously a bit of a rocket, but they invited him to shoot.
Yeah.
They just didn't bother closing down. It's just like, it is a beauty, but I mean.
The only goal that you'd think we were hard done by on was the own goal, I think.
Mm.
Because he doesn't make that decision if the guy's not there in an offside position.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the laws of the game say that that's not interference.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It massively affects the decision the defender has to make, though, so it has to be interfering.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you take from this result, people would
Could have been 8, is what I'm saying. No, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
I know, we wouldn't. You know, people will be fearful for Bournemouth's survival this season, and Parker's comments back that up quite incredibly. With Liverpool, it just because they hadn't won all season, I think Klopp was like, right, let's make sure we win, and my didn't they? But the result is outstanding. But Ollie on Twitter got in touch with us to let us know that Southampton were enjoying the result. The club's official account tweeted Bournemouth after the game simply saying, DM us if you need to talk. It's a nice touch, isn't it?
It's unprofessional.
Bit of South Coast solidarity.
It's unprofessional for an official Premier League club Twitter. They should... I mean, look, it's not the worst contribution to social media Southampton people associated with Southampton have made.
Unbelievable.
But But, you know, it's not great either.
All right. Well, do get in touch with us, shout@footballramble.com.
We're not on Getter, by the way.
Or tweet us at footballramble if you want to contribute. Manchester City beat Crystal Palace 4-2. I thought Palace had them. I thought, is this going to be another victory for Palace at the Etihad? But of course it wasn't. Erling Haaland scored his first Premier League hat-trick after Palace were 2-0 up. After the game, he said, "That's why I'm here, to turn it around in difficult times. My dad will probably say he has more goals in the Premier League than me, so I'm going to chase that."
Yeah, I mean, not for long. Is that about 18 Premier League goals?
I think you'll
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he still have the record of the Haaland family by the end of this show.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I tell you what, before we go on to talk about Haaland, Palace, that disallowed goal, Jim.
Yeah, I think they were really hard done by there.
I think, yeah, I mean, I know that, was it Jermaine Genus on Match of the Day said that he felt that Edison was still in control of the ball.
But it left his hand, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that can be true.
They didn't show that many replays of it, so I am willing to be told otherwise here. But because when a goalkeeper throws the ball up to kick it, that is deemed you're still in control.
That's deemed
of the ball.
A single movement now, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
He's putting it down, though, isn't he? So it's slightly different. Maybe there is a law that we're, you know, a quirk of those laws that we're not aware of. But
yes,
that's. I'd be gutted if Arsenal scored that goal and it was disallowed.
What we need is Peter Walton in here, like BT Sport have, where you can just ask him a question and then absolutely berate him, whatever his answer is. Which is basically what happens every single show. Yeah.
Poor old Peter.
Yeah.
Nice guy by all accounts.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
But yeah, they got away with that one, Manchester City. There's no doubt about that.
They'd have still won, wouldn't they?
Haaland
would have just scored another 3 or 4.
If we're talking about Anderson's goal, I'm sorry, Palace's goal, and you got to wear Anderson's header.
Yeah.
That's a beauty.
It was.
Great old-fashioned header.
But what, did you think, though, that when teams go up against Manchester City, and we saw Newcastle do it the other week, it's very obviously Manchester City are the champions, so on that we can say they're the best team in the league. But when you go up a couple of goals against them, which is obviously quite
a rare
thing.
Palace have got a good record against them.
No, they do. Unfortunately, they didn't have Andros Townsend in there to secure the result. But there is a kind of it's very difficult to then do anything other than, all right, okay, everybody retreat.
Yeah,
to your positions. Mm. But City are so good at picking teams off. Well, you saw those defenders in the box for Haaland's second goal. There was like 9 bodies in there, and yet he crept to the back post, big 6 foot plus strapping Haaland.
He's basically like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He's basically massive,
but he just
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone's frightened.
Yes.
Everyone's turning, looking over their shoulder every time they hear a noise.
Yeah.
And he completely steals the show every single time.
And he can still surprise you.
Yeah.
Surely
yeah.
with the old T-Rex, you think, well, there's only certain places they can hide.
No, I think the people were quite, I mean, the guy on the toilet in Jurassic Park was quite surprised when the T-Rex smashed in and ate him.
Well, you can't.
I'm trying to do a poo.
Yeah.
That's what he shouted. Yeah. It's his famous words.
If you're going to cherry pick some examples, you know.
Is it your favourite line in Jurassic
Park? Yeah, I'm trying to do a poo. Yeah. There's poo in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do a jobby.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, if you look at the 3 goals he scored, they're all quite different.
Well, finally...
He's just a ridiculous player.
Yeah, that third one was kind of a player approaching unplayable level. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like there's a force field around him.
I just think his kind of pedigree and his history we saw this like last week, I think Luke mentioned, like they do not want to defend against him. And any defender sort of goes, that's not my man.
Yeah,
for a second. Like,
I'm not even sure that's a man.
For a second. He just sort of took 2 steps to his left and then he's just in space and nobody wanted to take responsibility because nobody wanted to be.
He's always on the move. Like, he's never standing still. I mean, I feel like maybe it's slightly different after this Palace game, but you feel a bit like he's not really got fully up to speed yet.
No.
But he's still got 6 goals in 4 games.
Still adjusting to their style, really. And we've seen quite a bit of that. He had that hilarious line off the game, which is, "Finally, Phil played the ball to me."
Yeah.
And Rodri also talking about how actually he doesn't move that much.
Well, that's just the thing. Like if we think he's got great movement, which he does, Rodri said, "We have him as a reference who doesn't move much. He needs to adapt. His natural talent makes a difference, but he needs to do better at being involved in the game."
I think that's mad.
I mean, but if
that's
he's
a mad thing to say.
But I mean, that it shows you that. I mean, again, Haaland is very, very young. I mean, he's not the finished article yet, even though he is. But there is no ceiling to this man. But it reminds me of the original Ronaldo,
same.
Of course.
I always think that whenever I see him.
Yeah, PSV and then to Barcelona, kind of those days. Just the raw talent is absolutely frightening.
I think Rodri's embarrassed himself there. I think it's probably because he hasn't played the game at the highest level. At least listen to people like us, really.
Quite possibly. Gentlemen, you might remember we previously talked about a local businessman named Mr. Sivertsen.
Yeah, Lars's dad.
Lars's dad, who spent £10,000 commissioning a wooden statue of Erling Haaland in his hometown of Bryn. After a full year of sculpting, the 10-foot statue is now complete and it was unveiled 2 weeks ago. But it didn't last very long because last Wednesday, after complaints, it looks nothing like him. Apparently a thief stole it, used a crane to grab it during the night.
That's quite the operation.
It is.
It's like Jebediah Springfield, where Bart gets accused of chopping off the head of...
Yeah.
It's very sort of small towny, isn't it? Well, it's a small town.
Is this an incredibly wealthy town? It cost ten grand.
Mm.
The thief used a crane. Like, who's just got access to a crane?
It's Norway, mate.
You say 10 grand. I mean, if it's being carved out of a single big lump of wood, wood that big's going to be expensive.
100-year-old tree. Apparently, it was carved out of.
Right, and labour cost as well.
I had to fix a fence recently, a picket fence, and it was the timber prices are through the roof.
How much did it cost you?
More than I wanted to pay. To be honest.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to chop it myself.
Hacksaw Pete Duggan.
Yeah.
Mr. Sivertson, he said of the incident that obviously they were very proud of Harlan and thought it would be good to commission a statue to pay tribute to him. And he said, some complained it was too ugly. Let's face it, Erling is not a pretty guy, but I was still shocked that someone decided to seal it. Was it Haaland himself?
I want it. If I was Erling Haaland, I'd just be like, I'm fed up with this. I've had enough of this. Every facet to it is insulting to me in some way.
I mean, just set fire to it. You don't have to take it anyway.
Where's that come from,
Peter? It's wood, isn't it? So you could just easily set fire to it.
No, that would be
a burning effigy.
That would be worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would just make Erling Haaland more powerful, I think, somehow.
Be interesting to see Erling Haaland himself set fire to it. Stand there. So what do you think of this?
I don't know. It's terrifying.
And then set fire to himself and just not get burned.
But if I may go back to the game, I mean, Palace played their part, Luke Moore.
They did.
What do you think of Palace so far this season?
I think they're a good team generally. I don't think they'll be judged necessarily on this game, although that, you know, to go two up, I understand your point, but to go two up against any team is and then be beaten essentially handily is kind of a bit disappointing. But I think they'll be absolutely fine this season. I liked the last game out when they beat Aston Villa, who've had a poor start. They look pretty good. I think they know the way they want to play. I've got no problem with them at all, really.
Yeah.
And a good battle in draw against Liverpool and Anfield as well, by the way.
Yeah, no, I think they've started very, very well. But that's why when they went 2-0, I thought, blimey, they could be on.
It's very early they went up, didn't they? It was quite early on. You just thought City have got a chance here.
Well, of course, yeah. They've always got a chance. We've just described their star striker as unplayable. Mm. I did find it funny he had 8 touches in each half. And you remember when he had the 8 touches the other week? When I think he only just registered 1 assist. I don't think he scored. And people say, when Lukaku had 8 touches. Shut up.
If
Lukaku had scored 6 goals in his first 4 Premier League games, people wouldn't have been criticising. What's the fucking point of this? Why are people saying this? The problem with football coverage is there's so many people who just talk about shit. They don't know what they just. It's impossible to predict football, really, and people pretend it's not.
But some of the comments we've mentioned at the time, and I'm going to bring it up, damn it, all the comments that some journalists made about Haaland in that
Community Shield final.
Yeah. It's just like he's going to be brilliant. There's no two ways about this. As I said at the time, it's very rare when you get a player who you know, wherever you put him, Cristiano Ronaldo was another one back in the day, the great original Ronaldo, of course. You put him anywhere, in any culture, in any style of football, in any, whatever it is, he's going to score lots of goals. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because City, they've not played with an out-and-out front man that often.
Darren Huckabee.
Just like Huckabee at a certain level. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Average performance, average cup tie, in that we allowed them to win 4-0.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Just the four it was. Okay, Jimmy, let's talk about Arsenal 2, Fulham 1. I don't want to fly off the handle, but I smell a conspiracy.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you want to take us through that first?
How did Fulham lose that game?
They didn't. Arsenal won it.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
you see.
What a shame. Part of the atmosphere at the Emirates again.
It was a pumping atmosphere.
Apparently so, yeah.
For Gabriel.
Unfortunately. By the end it was, yeah. Yeah. And again, like, we've spoken about it quite a few times like already this season, but that is a huge, huge difference that is translating to the pitch, really. The relationship between the fans and the team is a huge, huge factor in Arsenal moving forward like this. And actually, we've seen so many times in the past that if a goal like that had been given away by a defender making a mistake and a big bustling striker bullying one in, the whole place would have just been like, oh God, here
we
go again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't happen now. And it's fantastic.
What do you feel that the sort of the less the spotlight has been on the what was previously called Arsenal Fan TV, the better the fortunes of the club?
I don't know. I think the whole banter club thing is a problem for a lot of teams, isn't it? And you do have to work hard to get out from under that sort of label. So not basically giving them the fuel to accidentally burn with other fans going, yeah. certainly helps.
Yeah. All you need is an uptake in performances, results, or a huge takeover from a questionable regime. And suddenly the banter club is gone.
Or in Arsenal's case this season, a very favourable fish computer. Because that's what they've played the first few matches of the season.
I thought you said fish computer.
Sorry, yes,
what's
fish computer.
Happened to him?
What is the fish computer?
It's a computer that is run by Tiny Herring, and they swim around in the ducts of the computer, and it's just do simple addition and mathematics.
But it's quicker because they can do more processes.
Yeah, because there's loads of them.
Yeah, okay.
You're only limited by the amount of fish you got in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still in the dark about this. But, I'll take your word for it. But yes, yeah. By the way, though, the celebrations at the end of the game, they got the scorn, if that's right, of Richard Keyes, because Matt on Twitter brought
Keyes involved.
Keyes,
we got him on the show.
Our old friend Richard Keyes, he wasn't impressed because at the end of the game, he saw the scenes and so on, and he was talking to his old friend Andy, and he was moaning about Mikel Arteta, saying, why does he have to kick every ball during the game? Why does he have to shout? I mean, as if they can hear him anyway. They're over celebrating this. It was a 2-1 win against newly promoted Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is delightful for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if Richard Keyes is upset, that's always funny to me.
Yeah.
So if Arsenal win,
yeah,
and he's upset every time that happens, a good thing suddenly becomes two good things.
Yeah.
Go home to your wife, Richard. Take her for dinner.
Go home to anyone.
Yeah.
Someone made the point that he looks like Hasbulla, you know, the little.
Oh, he does a bit.
The guy with.
Yeah. See that? Yeah, I can see.
He was punching Shaquille O'Neal on a super yacht on the weekend.
I saw that. Ginned him, didn't he? Yeah.
What a weekend.
Get him to give one to Keezy.
I think Shaquille O'Neal was pretending to be hurt, though.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Probably. He didn't get sparked out. Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? Because that's apparently perfectly acceptable entertainment these days. Just get a really big man and a really small man and put them together.
Well, that's what we do when we take City. When we take photos of the both of you.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that hand shelf. You could do a foot shelf.
You're head blown, I'm Shaq.
Yeah. The best compliment Luke ever got was when he was in a kebab house. And the
big boss.
The boss. My man called him Big Boss Man.
He killed every other person, every other broke in the kebab shop, Big Man. And they called me the Big Boss.
The Big Boss.
I think just because I was the tallest.
Great. Yeah.
Ocean Breeze Kebab Shop on Gosport High Street, for those of you.
Good
know.
To give him a shout.
Is it still there? Might not be.
You were a shareholder of that place, though, at the time. So maybe that's why I called you Big Boss.
Kebab Shop journey went from, you know, Round the Grill to Ocean Breeze. Mm. Then when I went up to college where I met you.
Belly Busters. Yeah, I thought that was good.
Ocean Breeze, too much of a nautical theme for me. Yeah. For a kebab house.
Should have been sea.
No, Ocean Breeze right on the harbour, though.
Yeah, but it's not an ocean.
In my head, I'm going fish.
They also do fish and chips, though. Oh. But you wouldn't get them from there. Right. You don't ever get them from a dedicated fish and chip shop.
Ocean Breeze, windy sea. Windy. It should have been.
Now I'm Ace Kebab House on Norwood High Street.
Nice.
So mix it up.
When I lived in Bow, the guy in the local shop used to call me my friend. And then I went in one day and he started calling me boss. It's like, been promoted.
That's great. It's exactly the same thing. So you probably just get another tier because you've been in there so long. Yeah. But the guy at the Ocean Breeze who called me Big Boss, he was obsessed with Only Fools and Horses. So he would always go, yes, please, lovely jubbly. Yes, please. The great thing about it was he'd have a picture of the Trotters Independent Trader three-wheeler, right? There's a photo behind the counter. Yeah.
Kicked in Greece.
Yeah, but I think he'd learn English from watching Only Fools and Horses.
Right.
So he didn't speak English that well.
You get a lot of tour operators abroad who go, yes, lovely jubbly.
Yeah, but he would do the proper Del Boy. He would say that, as in, like, this is great, what's going next, lovely jubbly.
I always follow through the bar.
Yeah, and then they open the flap and fall through the bar into the deep fat fryer, yeah.
So bottles of water, they were just from the tap, though.
Peckham Spring. Can I just say, I don't know if Ocean Breeze is still there, so I'll give them a shout out. I've not been down there for a long time. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's listening who's from that area, go and check it out.
Absolutely right.
Guarantee you, I don't know, if you take a photo of yourself in the Ocean Breeze, I know we'll get the Ramble Twitter to reach.
Well, that all leads us neatly onto Alexander Mitrovic, who, of course, robbed Gabriel in front of his own
The big boss of Fulham.
The big boss man. But I mean, you're a good beauty.
Was he still dizzy from getting smacked in the face by the ball by Aaron Ramsdale
earlier? Oh, he did get smacked in the face, didn't he?
It was a bit frightening to see Mitrovic dazed, actually. I didn't realise it was possible.
Because he scored that goal in the Champions League a while back, where he just hit him as he slipped over and it went in. And you just thought to yourself, if he does that again, it might actually rebound to the goal.
It is so delightful seeing him score goals in the Premier League when there's so many of the doubters and the haters, you know. I know it's early days.
Especially how hard Ramsdale was working in that match as well. Yeah. Like, to get one past him was a bit
you're absolutely right. Yeah, Ramsdale made some crucial saves.
I said to Andy that he wouldn't score more than 12 goals in the Premier League this season. He's already got 4.
Yeah.
So some welcome, isn't it?
Not quite there yet, but I think in about a month's time, I'm just going to be basically Ouija boarding.
Well, I said 12 plus.
Voodoo dolling for an injury.
Yeah.
I mean, from watching Fulham, they are going to stay up comfortably based on that, I think. Ooh. They look so much more physical than you expect Fulham to be.
I think
Fulham are quite hard now, and that's going to take me a little while to get used to. You know, they don't seem.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, seen in the previous seasons when they've come, they look so much more equipped.
Well,
for the
I think
Premier League
is that, I mean, I think the back four, they like to play quite a high line at times. That's what they did against Liverpool on the opening day, and Silva, I think, is saying, no, we're not going to just make up the numbers. We have to go on the front foot. We've got a guy who can score goals. Pellini's been a great signing in the centre.
So has Andreas Pereira. Yeah,
Andreas has been superb. You know, a few
they blitzed Liverpool in the open day, Marcus. Liverpool didn't know what hit them.
Yeah, and I mean, against Brentford at home as well, you know, they let Brentford back in the game, and fair play to Brentford there, but they should have been out of sight. So, I mean, I'm very excited, but Marcus Silva has made such a huge difference, you know, to this side. They've got a plan, they've got a bit of an identity, a way to play, and the players are responding. And they've made some very canny signings. Bernd Leno as well in goal. They made some decent.
Yeah, because I quite like their old keeper, Rodak.
Yeah, Rodak's. Well, this is what happens when you come up from the Championship. You have these players who play well and they put in a good shift, and you feel quite sad for them. But then Bernd Leno is a very good goalkeeper as well.
Going back to Jim's point about Fulham showing enough, I agree with him. But I also find it interesting. Only 4 games in, it's very early to say. And of course, we've got midweek fixtures coming this week, but. It's funny because the teams that you would pick to be relegation candidates probably at the start of the season, a lot of them have shown a lot. You know, you look at
Bournemouth
have shown a lot. stop it. Fulham have shown a lot. Forest have shown a lot. I don't think Palace will be in trouble. You know, there's loads. Brentford aren't going to get relegated. Obviously, Brighton are flying.
I would have thought people would have had Palace maybe down, would they?
Just saying, there's a lot of teams. Probably you can pick 10 teams that could get relegated. Well, a lot of them are already showing quite a lot of quality.
I agree with you. I think this season in the Prem, actually, I think it's intriguing. And
worried for you if you're Everton, if you're Leicester, if you're Wolves, you're
Villa.
Worried.
Well, Villa, yeah. I'd be shocked if Wolves are around there. But yeah, no, I take the point though. And I think actually, if you compare it to say previous seasons where you think, well, they're going down, definitely. Whereas now, I think there's a lot of quality in the league. I obviously that result is very damning for Bournemouth. You know, I don't think they've had a terrible start. If taking away that result, but unfortunately that result is in there. Well, let's move on to Forest then. They lost 2-0 at home to Tottenham Hotspur, Harry Kane getting both the goals. They would be the only side I would disagree with what you said, only because I worry where the goals are going to come
from.
They were
outstandingly at Spurs. They were really good.
But it's the goals. I think Forest are going to be that side who play well, the build-up plays nice, defensively they're going to be okay. I mean, okay, undone twice by Harry Kane, who's one of the best strikers in the world. But I think they're going to put in good performances, they're going to be well-organised, and they're not going to score goals.
But I think Cook had a bad game here. I think players like Yates, I know he's just come off, I think he played against Grimsby in midweek, but I think he's come back after an injury, and I think the manager's trying to play him into form a little bit, and it's unworkable because he just does not have the pace of the Premier League just yet, and that's why the transitions are so slow, and players like Lingard just aren't getting the balls in advanced positions. They're having to go way too deep, and I fear for Forest if they can't get the ball in the back of the net, because you can't buy goals at the moment.
If Lingard could chip in with say 9 or 10 goals, that's quite
easy
a lot,
game on Wednesday for him.
Who have they got?
They've got
City away.
Is there not an argument though that if they're already playing this well, and I know they're not getting the results just yet, but they're still bedding in essentially an entire new first team.
Like
when there is a bit of time for that to click, maybe they're going to have a bit of a slow start, but it's not impossible.
I think if Kane's first, like the space
in front of
that defense,
was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, but it was slow and it was ponderous. Like, he didn't need to sort of hit it hard. He just sort of like placed it in the corner, and they just gave him way too much space. And you can't do that.
I mean, but they do have that front three Spurs. I agree with you, Peter. But I mean, when you've got that front three, it's very difficult.
I just wonder whether Forest. I wouldn't read that much into the Spurs game. I thought they played well. They were on the end of a difficult result because they're playing against a really good team, and as you've already said, a world class striker who should have scored three because the penalty he missed and everything. But to me, the more indicative game is the West Ham game. They come out of that with a win. On another day, they could have lost it. They weren't in control of it. And after both those games, both the West Ham game and the Spurs game, Steve Cooper came out and said, look, we're going to carry on playing the way we believe in playing, and we're going to stick to our tactics, and we're going to do this. And then it just comes down to whether it's enough to beat other teams around them.
Yeah.
I still think they've got... I don't think you can watch that game yesterday and think, fucking hell, Forest have got nothing about them. They were amazing big parts of it.
But I saw this with Fulham when Parker was in charge. Fulham played some nice stuff.
I don't think they're anywhere near as aggressive as Forest are.
No, not necessarily. But I would say Fulham had a few better players in their side. But Fulham just could not score goals. And I think at the moment, Forest, you know, they're putting in performances. They've got a Partizan home crowd, and that will help. I just fear for them slightly. You're going forward, and if you start results, I just fear that we will say a lot this season, you know, Forest, they played well, they equipped themselves, but they lost 1-0, but they lost 2-0.
Yeah, okay.
I fear that could be the case. I hope I'm wrong.
Henderson's got a nice cap on, though.
Well, he'll play his part this season.
A lot of talk about energy caps. He was very
He's a bit of a character. He's a bit of a character.
He is a bit of a character, yeah.
He's very confident.
He talks a good game.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's a good
kicker. Saved the penalty, to be fair. Yeah.
Well, against Harry Kane. But a mate of mine said, blimey, never see Harry Kane miss penalties. We missed one in the Euro semi-final.
Yeah, but he hasn't missed one. That was the first in 21 he'd missed for Spurs.
Oh, yeah, no, he's very good at penalties.
And what do you think about Richarlison?
Lovely assist for the second goal.
It was a lovely assist, but
Luka Modric.
That's what he means.
Well, I'm bringing that in. I want to give the whole performance
the whole picture,
a bit of credit. Yeah,
well, he's a good player, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a fucking prat.
There we go.
Why was that? When it was clearly some form of retribution, why is that not a red? I do not understand the professional foul situation.
No, because I think there's an unwritten rule in football that if a player unnecessarily showboats and massively takes the piss, the referee just goes, I'm going to look away for 3 seconds. And it'd be like, I've mentioned it before on the show, you remember Curl on the Brazilian player, did the seal dribble.
He the player essentially kicked him out of a career.
In South America as well, it's brave.
In Brazil, he would do this dribble where he'd put the ball in his nose and try and run. He was clearly trying to, you know, it was like his thing. I'm going to get noticed
Personal
around
brand.
The world.
Yeah,
and he did. But barely did he put the ball ball in his nose that when it got people realised what he was doing, defenders would go in and just smash his face with the elbow, and the referee would be like, oh, maybe just a yellow. If you're going to paint a target on your face, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, there's only so much.
I was just saying about Richarlison, I know, and I don't want to sound churlish here, because it was a great assist for that goal, and he is a really good player, Richarlison. Mm. But he's also so one-footed. I think he might be the most one-footed player in the Premier League.
That's a big shout.
And I'd like to see anyone provide evidence that he can do a lot with his left, because I've never seen him. I've been to Spurs this season. I've seen him play.
Yeah.
Seen him play before that for Everton. He doesn't seem to want to do anything with his left foot. And I wonder, he's been capped by Brazil and he's a top-quality player. And I get that. But never, no one seems to mention how one-footed he is.
Well, now they have.
Yeah. But then no one says that about Messi. He's also really one-footed.
Not that bad. Come on. We've seen Messi score goals with the old right foot.
Yeah.
But nobody's mentioned...
You knew what foot he is, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I mentioned it, did I? Yeah.
Look, Ivan Perisic, I was like, is he left-footed or right-footed?
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Love a bit of that.
Ah, lovely. Lovely stuff. Gentlemen, let us move on to Chelsea 2, Leicester City 1. Chelsea, obviously, a great win for them, considering they went down to 10 men quite early on. Conor Gallagher sent off for 2 yellow cards in the first 28 minutes. I mean, I know he's a young man and blah, 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 blah. But once you've got the first yellow, what are you doing for that second?
Yeah.
I feel for him. Do you know what?
I do.
You're right. I feel for him. But it looks to me that, you know, he's been given an opportunity. What? Because Conte's injured, right? And Golo Conte's injured, right?
Yeah. Good to, the pronunciation of that was correct in local dialect, but you know, people thinking they're the manager.
I wasn't thinking, obviously, he's not being picked because Antonio Conte, the manager of Spurs,
his midfielder days are over.
Yeah, he was a great midfielder.
At the top level.
Yeah, very good, very much. I reckon he probably still do a bit.
Easily.
Anyway, whatever you want to call him,
yes,
in the middle of the park for Chelsea, he's injured.
Yeah.
So Gallagher's playing.
Yeah.
And you think Gallagher's had a really successful loan spell to the point where he's broken into the England squad, right? I think I'm right in saying. Mm. And it just looked like he's trying way too hard. Yeah. He didn't have a great game the game before. Mm. And now I feel for him because he's going to lose all momentum because he's going to obviously be suspended for a game. It's really tough on him.
It's a great shame because he knows how it works with Chelsea and their low knees and young players and so on. It's very, very difficult to get a game. And he's there, as you say, and the home crowd are up and blah, 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 blah. And he just looked crestfallen.
He is there with very high stock, though, isn't he? Even in the context of that. I think, I don't think Tuchel's going to be like, all right, we'll consign him to the bin or loan him out somewhere else. I think, it's a shame for him, but...
I don't think anybody's saying that. The pressure's on then for the next game. And also Tuchel will think, well... Okay, that can I trust you if you're going to do that? Because again, it was very early on in the game. If it was into the second half and it was a breakaway and they only one goal up or whatever, and you think, well, okay, but that it was really poor and it put the side in a bit of jeopardy. Now they responded really well and it was nice to see Raheem Sterling get his first couple of goals for Chelsea. Could have had a hat trick as well, when the one that hit the post. But what was nice actually to see Sterling, that second goal, just peeling away, getting on the end of something, and you think that's what he should be doing, because he did that for Man City so often.
He's such a high value player, Sterling.
Yeah.
Like he gets really sort of overlooked, and I think maybe taken for granted.
I agree with you actually,
because he's very consistent and doesn't seem to get the credit for that. It just seems to go under the radar a little bit, or maybe that's not true. Yeah. But it seems like there was very little fanfare about him going to Chelsea. It's like. A bit like, oh yeah, fair enough. Probably time for him to move on. But he's still a fantastic player. He's going to make a difference for them.
What do you think of Chelsea though, there, Luke? I mean, that shows a bit of character being down to 10 against what we still think is a decent side. They've not been great this season, but to win.
I don't think they are a decent side now.
But at times, it looked like Leicester were down to 10 men. Chelsea passing the ball very nicely and creating chances and could have and perhaps should have scored more than 2.
At the same time, didn't Ayoze Perez hit the woodwork late on? They could have got a 2-2 draw, couldn't they?
I mean, could have done, but Sterling also hit the post.
Look, your question was about Chelsea. I think that they're still a good team, obviously. What Gallagher's done there is, as you say, to get 2 yellows so close together in the first half is just a little bit of immaturity, I think. But on the Leicester side of the ledger, it's bad for them. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's quite a damning result.
And there's a few kind of key reasons, I think. One is the fact that Vardy doesn't look like he can play with the same intensity that he did. And that's obviously going to be because of his age, probably. He's always going to catch up at some point.
We were waiting for that to happen.
And the second, and obviously they lost Fofana, which is a massive loss for them. And the second thing is, like, Tielemans is probably going to go, right? So we've got, what, two or three days to the transfer window closes. Mm. Tielemans being linked with everyone, Arsenal and possibly Liverpool now because they need a midfield player. And he was probably their best player against Chelsea, and he is one of their best players anyway.
Yeah, well, I think that's it with Leicester. There'll be potentially a few other issues there. I do wonder.
What does it mean for Brother Brendy, though, Mark?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting.
What does it mean for Brother Brendy? Because he could be toast. Yeah, he could be toast.
Well, Brother Brendy, I'm worried because I think he's waiting to see who's around and who's not, because. And, and see which names are going to go in the envelope.
He will be managing Aston Villa by the end of the season.
That's a great
shout.
That is
imagine
a great
shout.
That's lovely.
He just puts names in the envelope. They don't even play for you. Yeah. Like,
who's going to let you down the season? Fafana? Yeah.
Myself. Maybe as well.
those who are fans of the sack race. I would include myself in that.
Are you a fan of it?
Well, I don't like to see people lose their jobs generally, but I think when it's really wealthy, powerful people, I don't think it matters as much.
No, I'm not.
You can fail upwards in football, particularly if you're a manager. And I think I am a fan. I think it's of interest. Mm-hmm. For those who are fans of it, it's very, very rare statistically, I think, for a manager to be fired in August. Miguel Delaney was saying on a rival organ to the Football Ramble that November is the most common month for managers to be fired. So statistically, Brother Brendy should have to, he's got about 3 months.
Why do you think
that is?
Do you think that, like, Guy Fawkes Night, they're watching the fireworks and it just, you get a bit starry-eyed and go, probably be Christmas soon.
Now, grumpy because the nights are closing in.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, fucking bit of seasonal effect.
Nothing to do with bonfires.
Maybe.
Is it a bit like retail therapy? I'm bored. It's horrible. It's cold.
Do you think Black Friday's got something to do with it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Tax bill in January, that's miles away. But in the past 20 seasons, apparently, this is a Leicester City journalist. In the past 20 seasons, there've only been 31 teams on 1 point or fewer after four games, and only three finished in the top half. So that's a bottom half finish.
That looks like it's going to be a bottom
half. I've overestimated Leicester in my Premier League predictions. What's the fish computer saying about Brother Brendy?
Well, 17 of those teams, 55% were relegated. So could go down.
Thanks to the herrings for that prediction. Yep. Thank you very much to the herring community.
Thank you, micro herrings.
Sure. they're not herrings, surely. I think they would not be like little
tiddlers.
Herrings are quite small.
I nearly said tadpoles and I was like, that wouldn't work.
No.
That's something else.
Your ducks would be filled with frogs in no time.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I thought when Jim said about him going to Aston Villa? In my mind, I just thought, that's Sean Dyche's music. I can hear Sean Dyche.
It depends where they are.
Yeah.
I think if they are, if there's a chat about relegation, Big Dyche could come in. But if they're thinking, no, let's look up, let's see if we can push on and get into the sort of top half, and maybe even a big old push could get us Europa League or Conference League or whatever it would be, then maybe old Brother Brendy. I saw one Villa fan on Twitter talking about Pochettino and I thought, yeah, all right.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Very much so. Very much so. Gentlemen, let's stay in the Midlands. Certainly with the chat anyway. I appreciate the game.
We're moving west.
We are a little bit, yeah. Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Newcastle United 1. Pete Donaldson. There's that man, Sam Maximam. What a goal.
What a goal. He was
A pair of goals as well.
Well, those two and the Bruno Fernandes were the three great goals from outside the area of the weekend.
Not Trent.
Okay, but they have nine of them, so they're greedy, baby.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, Peter, often people talk about Alan Sam Maximam, a great player and all the rest of it, but his end product maybe not quite there. Well, how about that for a bit of end product?
Yeah, he was poor, or made to be quite poor most of the match, to be honest. I'm really glad that he got there in the end. But I think I was really impressed by Wolves closing down. They were just really
defensively
that kind of high intensity sort of style that Eddie Howe's trying to play, completely nullified by that team. And they do look very ordinary without a striker worth his salt, unfortunately. So it's going to be interesting to see when we get the new lad in.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I think I have quite high hopes for Newcastle this season. I predict them to finish quite well. And then you look at them going away from home and you think, okay, they play with a front three of armour on Wood and Sam Maximam. You think that's quite a hard-working, industrious, press from the front type forward line. And then you think, I don't really score any goals. I don't know. I mean, Almiron never scores.
Wilson, obviously,
as Pete was saying, without Wilson. Would you say without Wilson, they don't really necessarily look like they're going to score that much. I also was absolutely stunned by just the level of attractiveness of the Wolves team. There's many handsome players. It's absolutely ridiculous.
There's a few. But were you stunned by the attractiveness of Newcastle United's style of football? Because Ruben Neves certainly wasn't. He said Newcastle style of play is just long balls and second balls. They're not a team that wants to have possession too much. Sour grapes.
Well, read the rest of the.
Apparently, Neves had the most long balls of any other player.
Yeah, he would argue it's a long pass.
Yeah, and one of them went right in the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's your long ball, mate.
That Ruben Neves goal was really interesting because the commentating team, I can't remember who it was, said, oh, look at the way he touches the ball to shift it, to strike it. But actually, if you watched the replay, it didn't look like he did do that. It looked like he had a bit of a loose touch because his body had to adjust, and then he smashed it, and it was very, very fortunate to go for, I think, Willock's legs.
Yeah, yeah, Willock,
tiny gap to get through, and it did.
Willock didn't look interested in kind of shutting that down. Really.
Yeah, which is frustrating because you think to yourself, of all the players,
and he had a chance as well, Willock, didn't he?
He did. He but of all the players you're going to close down, Ruben Neves is going to be up there.
It's the specialist, essentially. It's like
the thing
Don't
he's known
let
for.
Let him shoot. Yeah, crying out loud.
That's like basically the Hulk Hogan leg drop of Premier League football.
Oh yeah, if you see Neves, he gives it the big boot.
Big time.
Wolves, of course, were without one member of their squad, Willy Bolly, who didn't even turn up for the game, despite Bruno Lage confirming that he was in the squad.
Nah.
Right.
Deadline day's come in, everyone's behaving appallingly. Love it. Absolutely love it.
It's Pish Paul. Where is he? He's not there. Oh, dearie me. So there we are, everybody. So what a weekend of action we had, of course. We've got more action this week. We've got that some glorious Tuesday and Wednesday night games. And we will be back tomorrow, everybody, with a bonus edition of The Ramble ahead of those games.
Yeah, stick around to see if I still continue to predict Arsenal to be top of the Premier League at Christmas.
Is that your prediction?
It is.
Love that.
What do you think?
I think you might be onto something there. Petey, any predictions
it's
from
doable.
You?
It's doable. I think that's doable. I think it's not bad.
But don't comment on my prediction. Make your own prediction.
Your own prediction. Jim's head, brother Brendy will be at Villa at some point.
What's the fish?
Gabby Jesus. Gabby Jeju. an island off the coast of Korea.
Yeah.
Gabby Jeju.
Right.
He's going to be
And Jesus is going to invade this
he's
island?
He's going to be
Pete's already announced to us all. Yeah. So we might as well share it with the listenership.
Right, yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because it goes against the very fucking point of it.
You are constantly making predictions. So I presume they're your predictions as well.
No,
so why would you write
not.
That on the thing?
Because I just
picked a new category.
I adjust as I go.
You adjust as
and there
you
is
go.
No, there is no top at Christmas category in the prediction. Gabriel Jesus scored about three goals, and you just put in the WhatsApp group, I've predicted him for top scorer this year.
Yeah.
But it hasn't come in yet. It's like me boasting about being above Jules Breach in the Fantasy Premier League last week.
I couldn't even find your team in the Premier League. But you've called it some. You can't written your name down as a silly name.
He can't see it where I am. He can't see me from where it is. Conor Ramsey. Calvin Ramsey. I don't even know his name. What's his name?
Who's going to be top of the league by mid-November?
Mid-November will be Liverpool. There you go.
All right. Oh, well. Yeah. That's not bad.
Currently ninth.
There we are, you see. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll be back tomorrow, so get involved. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.